Brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, born and raised in the United States of America. Praise be to Allah. Only a reflection of the potential that by Allah's help we will begin to surface by efforts such as this to unite us with the original language of the last revelation of Almighty God, Allah. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we very humbly thank our noted leader, the Honorable Imam Muezzin Muhammad, for accepting to be with us on this occasion. And we know that much of his success pivots upon his presence here with us. I know that we have Muslims here from New York, Oklahoma, Texas, Florida, Minnesota, all over, praise be to Allah. But I know what helped to fuel your presence here was the magnetism of this man and his being here. And we thank him for being here with us, and we thank Allah for putting in your heart and giving you the ability to be with us here. I'm going to simply share with you a very limited expression of some of the things that distinguish our leader Imam Muezzin Muhammad. I'm satisfied in saying that the most substantial things that distinguish him for us are unseen, but these are some things that have been seen as a result of his work here in America, striving diligently and sincerely to save the sincere followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and bring them to the Sunnah path of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to engage all others who desire true obedience to Almighty God Allah to bring them to the path of al-Islam, inshallah. I would like to read for you this brief thumbnail history of the man you're about to hear. The Honorable Imam Muezzin Muhammad was born to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, leader of the Nation of Islam, 1934 to 1975, and who was, in his time, one of the leading figures in African-American struggle, their struggle to achieve dignity and respect in America, and to Sister Clara Muhammad on the 30th day of October, 1933, in Michigan. In February 1975, he was unanimously accepted as a successor to his father as the leader of the then Nation of Islam. Since that time, Imam Muezzin Muhammad has been foremost in propagating the proper belief and practice of al-Islam in America. His firm and proven commitment to the Quran, the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has established him as the leader of the largest community of Muslims in the Western Hemisphere. In addition to being a much sought-after lecturer at colleges and universities, Imam Muhammad has received the Walter Ruther Humanitarian Award, the Four Freedoms Award. Among the previous recipients of this award have been President John F. Kennedy, Ms. Eleanor Roosevelt, and Dr. Ralph Bunche, and a multitude of proclamations from mayors and government officials. He has headed interfaith jubilees in scores of major cities and has been the keynote speaker at the American Academy of Religion, the World Council of Churches, and to the Jewish community. Imam Muhammad has traveled extensively to the Middle East, China, and the Caribbean islands, and has been the personal guest of the Egyptian President Anwar Sadat, Prime Minister Forbes Burnham of Guyana, King Khalid of Saudi Arabia, and also Sheikh Shaguru of Nigeria, and President Zia-ul-Haq of Pakistan had an audience with him here in the United States of America. In an unprecedented move, the 10th Annual Islamic Conference of Ministers of Foreign Affairs, meeting in Fez, Morocco, invited but one American to observe this historic and critical meeting, Imam W.D. Muhammad. This choice heralded a growing appreciation for the growth and strength of al-Islam in America under his dignified and effective leadership. The ever-increasing recognition of Imam Muhammad has been underscored repeatedly in the 80s. At the request of His Majesty the King Hassan II, Imam W.D. Muhammad was an honored guest at the Royal Palace of the Kingdom of Morocco. Imam Muhammad has been selected to the Supreme Council of Masajid of the Muslim World League based in Mecca, Saudi Arabia. He was recently among a select group of well-known political, scientific, and religious leaders who discussed planetary survival in the ancient university city of Oxford, England. Imam Muhammad's most recent distinction is the honor of being one of about 100 signatories, among them Billy Graham, who signed the document which reaffirmed the First Amendment right to freedom of religion in America. Imam Muhammad's keen scriptural knowledge of the Quran, the Bible, and the human dignity and family unity has won him many humanitarian awards, citations, proclamations, and his name and his work also has been entered into the congressional record. That is but a small view of some of the things that we have seen and that have value, and we know, of course, the bigger things are those things that are not seen, but we are certainly glad to see our great and noted leader, the Honorable Imam Wahidullah Muhammad, as I bring him to you now. Takbir! Takbir! Takbir!
Would you like to use this?
If you think I need it, I don't know. Dear believers, assalamu alaikum. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we pray your peace and blessings be upon Muhammad, the messenger of God, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. And the Bible. We ask Allah's blessings on this occasion, that He reward all of us for our good works and make this result in the betterment of not only those who are participating, but those who we hope will be affected by this meeting here because of your presence here when you go back home and return to those that you are from. Let me begin by first saying it is indeed a pleasure again to see believers here in Oakland that I lived among for about a year or more. Yeah. For about a year or more, and got to know very well some of you, and got to be very attached to some of you. And it's very good to see visitors from around the area, and especially those participants who are here from far distant places. This is very encouraging. When I learned of such a program being organized, I was very happy about it and very hopeful because this is a start for us that I think will mean improved respect for the religion. It's time that we do this. We have intelligent people, we have studious people, and we have some educated people among us. We have degreed people among us. We have degreed people among us who have received degrees from higher learning and who are good Muslims, who are very good Muslims. They're genuine Muslims. And we hope that such programs as we witness here today will bring those people out. So many are here today, but there are more. And we hope that these programs will bring them out and make it possible for us to know them and witness their merits in the field of Islamic studies, so that the community can benefit from these people more so than we are benefiting from them now. I believe that we have some students, accomplished students, in this African American community of Muslims that will thrill the hearts of Muslims around the world. if they could witness their accomplishments, just to hear them speak so clearly in Arabic with such excellent Arabic pronunciation, diction, etc., will thrill the hearts of Muslims all over the world. I have been asked to speak on a project that I have been wanting to really get on and involve myself in it for some time, for years, for many years now. I say many years, well, at least about 15 years or more. And that is translation of Quran into English. And a suggestion has been made that I perhaps would give some direction to students of Arabic language and Quran that are here today, so that a work can begin, and later, as the work is realized step by step, or I would say maybe page by page or whatever, that I could then get with the persons who would be undertaking this work and give my comments or do the job of editing what they have done, in hopes that the project can get started and we can realize some progress right away. That's a very, very good thought and very exciting plan and idea. I'll make some more comments just in a few minutes on that. Let me come back to you now. The Muslims who are interested in the study of Arabic and the study of Quran, the study of Hadith, because all these are must. You know, you can't separate them. There's no way to separate Arabic from the Quran. No way to separate Quran from Hadith. There's no way to separate any of the Arabic is a must if you are to understand the Quran. And the Quran is a must if you are to know your religion. And the Hadith is a must if you are to know your religion and understand the Quran. All of it is together. It's all together. In fact, authentic Hadith, genuine, pure Hadith, is nothing but a kind of commentary on the Quran, done by the most able, that is the Prophet himself, peace and the blessing be on him. Who could better give a commentary on the Quran than the Prophet who received the Quran? That's Muhammad ibn Abdullah, peace and the blessing be on him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, all of this is a must. So we will be benefited greatly by your efforts, your studies, and your works. We hope that soon there'll be more works. You'd be surprised to know that there have been works. In fact, there are works that have been done. I know several who are here today who have themselves come up with good methods for introducing Arabic to non-Arabic speaking people, English speaking people, and who have come up with very simple methods and very effective methods for teaching elementary Arabic to non-Arabic speaking, English speaking people who are here today. They're here. They're present here. I'm not going to name anyone in particular. I would like to see also, I've mentioned this before, and I'm going to mention this on this occasion because I think it would be even more important than perhaps what we're doing now. because it will excite the genuine people in our community to come together for the purpose of giving attention to the Word of God, the Holy Ghost, the Quran. And that is an occasion that will bring us together, as they do in most Muslim countries, and even here, immigrant Muslims are doing it, bring us together for recitation of Quran. We should include reading of Quran, because we are new, we are learning. So there should be a program that will bring us together for reading and reciting our recitation of Quran, to encourage the production of hafiz, reciters of Quran, and to encourage a beautiful language and beautiful speech in our people, and to attract those who are interested, so we will identify the beautiful voices. We have beautiful voices among our people. And the beautiful voices come forth, and we hear them recite, we hear them chant the Quran, and this will thrill the hearts of the believers and draw us together in big numbers, I believe, and attract the non-African American Muslims to us, because they would like to witness the recitation of Quran in beautiful voice, tajweed, and other basic styles recited by coming from reciters who are African American, who were born here and learned everything about the religion and the language right here in this country. Even though some of you have gone out, but you got your base here. You became excited here, and you got started here. You had the courage to get involved here, and you were already somewhat accomplished when you went overseas. Right? Yeah, see, I know these things. I got my star right here. In fact, I haven't been away. I got my star right here. I haven't gone overseas yet. I made plans to go over for 1 month or two or a year, inshallah, to some Islamic center to study among people of my makeup, people who have my kind of interest and love for Allah and His Word and His Prophet. So I don't care to go into a school situation, because it might expose me too much, and I don't know if I can accomplish very much in that kind of situation. So I prefer a situation where I can study with scholars, and they should think enough of you. To make a special program for me.
That's right.
So that's what I have requested, and I've gotten okay for that. Yeah. In fact, they were happy. They welcomed it. They were happy to know that I had an interest in such a program. But I'd like to see that happen soon. It shouldn't wait. We should have day set aside, and in fact, it can happen in the regions. In every region, we can just have a season for it. And it can start in one region, the next couple of weeks go to the next region, the next month go to the next region, until all the regions have had their Quran day, Quran recitation day. You know, or maybe it'll take more than a day, maybe it'll take a weekend, two or three days, you know, I don't know. But if it can be done in one day, it would be less expensive on persons who would have to participate coming from distances around. So this occasion is a very good occasion for me to express to you my desires for the growth of our members in Islam, in Quranic knowledge, in the knowledge of our Prophet, his life, peace be upon him, and etc. We don't want to stop there, but that's where to start. I know people who they hear the word fiqh and they just does something to them, and they want to get in the sick, you know. So you have to get in. You have to get into the light first. Get into the light first, and then you can get in the fix and whatever else Muslims should be getting into. But we need to get into the light first, and the way to get into the light is to become familiar with the Quran. You have to become more familiar with the Quran. You know, I thank Allah without a teacher. In fact, I had maybe about 4 or 5 years in Chicago under the same teacher that Donnell had. In fact, we were in the same class most of the time. Imam Donnell Kareem and myself and others. His sister was in class at that time too. Sister Zahir, the nurse in Chicago, who has written a nice, very nice book on Hajj. I hope will soon be out. Her own experiences, and a very informative book. It's a sister book that will assist sisters and even brothers, and brothers also, who haven't made the Hajj, so they would be able to do it and not run into problems that were met by those who did it before, getting the proper information of what to expect and everything, and how to prepare for it. So she is putting together a good book, which is kind of off the subject or beside the point, but and again, it is not off the subject, it is right on the point. That's what we want. That's what we want. That's all in the line of Islamic advancement for us. So I was in the class with them, and Professor Jamil Diab was our teacher. He was a very good teacher. His English was very good and clear. So we were able to talk to him and question him on the assignments and everything. And a few of us excelled. Imam Donnell Kareem, one of those that excelled. That was a brother Isaiah. I don't know what happened to him. He excelled and then disappeared. And I can name as many that we have here. I can name the same amount that excelled and disappeared, you know. So really, you know, you say, well, you know, who? Maybe somebody would have picked one of those that disappeared. Now, that's going to be the one that's going to make a contribution to the community. But he disappeared. And he had the same ability we had, you know. Even my brother Akbar, who had perhaps the best ability and overall ability in the language, Akbar, Muhammad. But he went over to Egypt and stayed there for 7 years in the Azhar University, and came back and went to Edinburgh, Scotland. And from Edinburgh, Scotland, he came to the United States because of other problems. In fact, he had to come out of Egypt because of the war, the Six-Day War. Then he came back to Edinburgh, Scotland, attended the university there, and the Nashville, Tennessee, and he studied there at the university there, and finally, Binghamton University of the state of New York, where he is now as a professor. He has a doctorate degree, he's a professor there. Quite an accomplishment for someone whose parents didn't finish elementary school.
Yes, sir.
His mother didn't finish elementary school. She had about 7 grade elementary education. His father only had 3 years education in elementary school. Only 3 years. But his father was able to excite the mind of his son to go and get a doctorate degree. You see? So yeah, that's something to be very proud of, but where is he now? He's another one who got it and disappeared, right? He got it and disappeared. So we who are here, we are precious. We who are here and we really are serious about accomplishing something in Islam, especially the study of the religion, we are precious people for now and especially for the future. We haven't finished here. I'm going to say, well, we've done so much. You've seen so many changes until you perhaps think the world has evolved for its last time.
Yes.
But it's just getting started.
That's right.
It's just getting started, you know. And it's a whole lot happened in the dark, so we thought it was a lot of days.
That's right.
It was just one night. And now they spin us around in the day. Now we've got to get started to do something, you know. We have to really get busy now to accomplish things and love each other.
That's right.
and want to share what you have with each other. Want to see your brother and sister have what you want, if you want good. You know, if they love for your brother, would you? And I know some of you, I don't want you to love for me what you love for yourself. But if you love good, then with the good that you love for yourself, you should love it for your brother, you know, and for your sister. And want to see everybody get bashed. Want to see everybody get ahead. And if you're 10 miles behind and you see somebody going ahead, be happy for them. Don't think about I'm 10 miles behind. Be happy for the person that is going ahead. And then after you be happy for them going ahead, then look at yourself and say, I'm going to try to catch up. Well, but don't look at them and say, oh, I hope they don't make it. Yeah, see, we can't be like that. And many of you are innocent that are like that. I know from experience, from personal experience with you. Many of you that don't like to see others of your brothers and sisters excel, go and achieve something without you, you know. You're innocent. All of you are not guilty. That's why I talk to you this way. I've talked to you personally. I know you're not guilty. You're innocent. You've just been sensitized to feel that way, you know. You feel threatened or something. Insecurity. Negro, African-American, Negro, black man, insecurity. You feel that, you know, and anybody going ahead just makes you feel that you just that much more insecure, you know. Well, I ain't got no credit. Now he going to get some more. And we have to overcome that.
That's right.
And we can overcome it if we love each other and work together. Love each other and work together. We have to practice love, kindness toward each other, be considerate of each other, ask Allah to purge our souls, clean out our hearts, clean out our minds, so that we can love each other and appreciate each other, and at least be considerate and be concerned for the betterment of each other, you know? That means you're going to love the person. Love, you know, when Muslims say you should love your brother, it doesn't mean you're going to love that person. It means you're going to love the brother that Allah created. Now, maybe you don't like the person, but you love the brother Allah created. He created a human being, a Muslim. So you love that, and you want that to live up to what Allah made it. You know? But you don't care for the person. Many times I don't care for the person. You'd be surprised how many people that I've had in my immediate friendship, I didn't care for them at all. But I saw worth in them. Now don't think it's this like that. I know these people. You hear what he said? He said he has his immediate friendship. You don't see who got his immediate friendship now? Nah, don't mean the same. So I'm going to stop it right now. I'm not talking about him now. He's different. But I have had people with ugly personalities. Ugly personalities. But they had something to offer. And we needed them. So I tolerated them. And I saw that they had value. Because if somebody will work, don't you know, if a man will get up on time and come to a job 5 days a week and will be honest and faithful on the job, well, he can be ugly in many ways to me, and he still looks good. Because he's supporting something. He's a value. He's supporting something. And that's the way we should look at this community. We should look at the value of the person to the community, not to us personally. Maybe to me personally ain't nothing. I'd rather you be out of my sight, you know. Yeah, I wish I'd never meet you. Purpose. But you got something to offer the community, and we all want to see the community go forward. So I have to see that value in you. And I have found myself, by looking at the value for the community in the person, I have become almost blind, oblivious to the ugliness that I saw in the person for me. Yes. You know? I'm talking to you, you see. And when I'm talking to you, I think I should talk to you what's best for you. And believe me, this is very important. If we can overcome this personal like and dislike thing that we have, or we can we can catch up with the white man.
Yes,
and pretty soon catch up with the Asian.
Yeah.
But we got to get this whole personal thing, you know, personal. I just don't like you.
Yeah.
I just don't like you. You know? Well, that's okay, you don't have to like me. The world gonna spin around still, you don't have to like me. Let's do this job. Let's promote the cause. Yeah. Let's advance the good for all of us. I don't care whether you like me or not. I don't like you either. Yeah, let's get it all out there right quick, right? Yeah, I don't like you either. I don't like a thing about you, but what you have to offer this religion. I think if we can get over that hump, we'll have it made. Yeah, we'll have it made. First thing, we just like the average African American, first thing we wanna do is look you over. See how he likes you personally. Oh, he looks good. I heard his speech sounds good. Yeah. So, you know, he looks good, he sounds good. Yeah, I like him. I can support him. I like him. That's not the way. No, first look to see what is the value of the person to the bigger cause. The big cause, the big importance, the big meaning. So, do we need this person? Can this person give something to us? Valuable? Do we need him? We got another person over there that's beautiful, you know. The features are lovely and the voice is sweet and just my kind of fella, you know. But he won't come to work on time. You give him a sign, then he won't complete it. Ask him to go out and invite some guests to the next city, and he won't even show up himself. So we have to put first things first. Look at the bigger picture first, you know. And you know the white man, I'm sure a lot of you know it. They be running multi-million dollar business. And be talking to each other and just working, running their heads together, and yes sir, yes sir, yes sir, yes sir, yes sir. You can count on it. You can count on me doing it. And soon they're waiting to job, not even outside can I tell you the names that they be using to describe what they think about each other. But they don't see each other, they see the purpose. And they see the value of each other to the purpose. And that's where we have to come. We have to come right there. Now, yes, getting away from that to the program of the project of translating Quran into English for the American audience. To my knowledge, no translation has been done yet for the American audience. Most of the translations are done for the English-speaking people, but not for the American audience. Even if a translation is done for America, it doesn't mean necessarily that translation is done for the American audience. Now, when you make a translation for the American audience, you have to consider more than just translating from Arabic into English or even into American English. You have to consider the sensitivities of the American people, the sensitivities of the audience. Some words may not, though they might be good for a limited number of Americans, certain words might not be good for the majority of Americans. So when we know more about the sensitivities of American people. I'm not talking about toward Islam now, but we're talking about for Muslims, for somebody that we hope will respect the Quran, love it and respect it. I'm not talking about sensitivities in that connection, not with the religion. I'm talking about just human sensitivities, just basic human sensitivities. You know, if you can choose a word, there may be two or three words, sometimes there are 30 words, and all these words fit in the translation. All of them. Sometimes all of them will fit in the translation. Now you have to pick the word that you want for the translation out of all those words that fit. So what I'm saying, in considering which word you will select, you also have to consider the sensitivities of the American people. Because one word will send off charges that you don't want. Though it's a good translation. But because of their certain sensitivities, it will send off charges that you don't want. So you have to pick the word that will have the best reception in the hearts of the people, in their minds and hearts, without losing effectiveness from the power of the language. The language has its power, its purity and its power. You don't want to lose any effectiveness from the purity and the power of the language. But at the same time, you don't want to lose an accommodation in the hearts and minds of the people by choosing the wrong word, you see, even though all the words mean the same. So there are many words mean the same. I have given myself in my talks around some, well, a translation, I would say, of certain verses. I think I've even done some small whole chapters, small surahs. Two or three whole surahs. I've given for myself. I just pick up the Quran like this and I read it. Allah has blessed me to come from school and not stop studying. See, many came from school and they stopped. But I was a person seeking Allah's guidance. I was seeking understanding in religion. So I didn't stop. I wanted the Arabic for that purpose so I would better understand the Quran. So I continued to study the Quran. Now you can turn any page in here and I can read it. Any page in here, I can read it. Maybe you may find two or three words I have not for me. I'll be slow. I have to look at it. Maybe stumble over it once. But the second time, no stumble. No stumble. And now, there are not many places like that that I'll find. This Quran is all in Arabic. Most of the time I have a Quran all in Arabic. I don't need a Quran in English. Very seldom will I need I don't need a Quran in English. I just need a dictionary. Yeah, I don't need a Quran in English for what? When you know how to read in Arabic, what do you need a Quran in English for? You need a dictionary. If you have good mind, you know. If you have good mind, then you don't need a Quran in English translation. You don't need it if you know the translation already. The best translation is the translation that you have learned. Yes. That's the best translation, not the translation you read. Now what is the difference? When I read the translation, Imam Daniel Kareem began reciting the second surah of the Quran. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Now, this book, there is no doubt in it, guidance for the upright, or maybe some other translation will be given. This book, there is no doubt in it, guidance, it is guidance for the upright. If I'm reading that, then I'm reading a translation. But if I myself have learned a translation, then I know ذَلِكَ is referring to the book. El, the, kitab, book. Let